So that's Luke 11, 5 to 13, page 734. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has just come to me, and I've nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give bread because he is his friend, yet because of this man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Now this week starts a series of sermons where we're going to be looking at prayer, which is just speaking to God. And we're going to be spending some leisurely time thinking about prayer, and in particular, the Lord's Prayer. Now, there was a lady who's now dead who once was, she wasn't a Christian, and she said this. She said, prayer is a bit like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't actually get you anywhere. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't actually get you anywhere. And to sort of make the point, I've got a rocking chair here, and what I would like is a volunteer. Does anyone want to volunteer for some extreme rocking chair action? I see two. Why don't you both come up? Come on up. Okay, I wasn't anticipating two, but that's fine. Okay, who wants to go first? Do you want to come first? Up you get. Sit as far back as you can. And now what I want you to do is adopt rock as much as you can, as far forward and backwards as you can. Shall I get you going? There we go. What I want to see is, can you move the rocking chair forward? A bit more rocking. Don't worry, I'll be here for catches. That's it. Keep going. More rocking. Oh, it's not going anywhere. Come on, Max. More. Is it moving? One more big rock. Ready, steady. Go. A little bit. Okay. Max, thank you. Why don't you come up and sit in it? See if you can do any better. Sit all the way back. Start the rocking. Ready, go. One more turn. Okay. Well done. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. You both did very well. You can go and sit back down. It's true, isn't it? Trying to get anywhere on a rocking chair is just an absolute waste of time. If anything, it just makes you sleepy. And it's not just atheists who think that prayer is a bit like a rocking chair. Many of us can feel the same. We know we should do it. It's just that, it feels a bit like wasted effort when there are other things to do. And we struggle with it. It's difficult. And I think one of the reasons why we struggle with it is because we're not convinced it works. We just don't think prayer works. It's wasted effort. So this morning, you can tell I wrote the script for Bishopston. Let's see if you can spot how many other times I do that. This afternoon, we're going to start by asking, does God listen to prayer? Does God listen to prayer? And if prayer is something you struggle with, or just if it doesn't excite you, then I hope Luke's words are going to give us fuel to get us fired up again. Before we do that, we will need God's help, so I am going to pray. Father, thank you that when we speak to you, you answer us and you act. Please, would you help us now to understand what you're saying to us in your word? Amen. Well, you've seen it already. Here's the first thing that Jesus tells us this morning. We should pray boldly because God will answer. We should pray boldly because God will answer. And to make this point, Jesus tells a story about a man I'm going to call Cyril. Late one night, Cyril's friend, Basil, turns up asking if he can spend the night. And Basil's been driving for hours and he's famished. His tummy's rumbling. And Cyril's delighted to see Basil, but he's got a problem. Because there's nothing in the fridge other than some moldy cheese, okay? Some moldy cheese. And all the shops are closed. How on earth is he going to feed Basil? Well, Cyril hatches a little plan. What he's going to do is he's going to go next door and ask his neighbour for some bread. And Basil's a bit surprised. He says, it's almost midnight, Cyril. You can't do that. But Cyril is very confident. He says, don't be so British, Basil. Of course I can. I'll ask. He'll give. Simples. So Cyril pops next door to his neighbour's house. Well, a bit louder than that, but he knocks on the door. No answer. No answer. Maybe he hasn't heard me, thinks Cyril. So just in case, he shouts out at the top of his voice, verse 5, have a look down. See the words he used. Friend! Lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I've nothing to set before him. You see, with Cyril, there's no, oh, I'm terribly sorry to interrupt. I mean, could I please? No, please don't worry if you have. No. No, he's utterly bold. Please give me food. And eventually a window opens above the door and it's the neighbour. And with a moustache like that, he's never looking happy, but particularly unhappy this evening. Verse 7, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. You see, he's got 2 children under the age of 2 who've only just fallen asleep. And he's saying, please, Cyril, stop making that noise. Hang on, sorry. You need what? A ticket. No, this is not a good time. No, I'm doing a talk. Yeah, bye. Sorry. Where were we? Yes, Cyril. He has got absolutely no understanding about social protocol. He's totally unaware. He just keeps knocking and calling out, hello, can I have some bread? Sorry. Now I've told you I'm doing a talk. They'll never invite me back. No. You really need them. Okay, we'll just come up and I'm at the front. Yeah, you'll see me. Just come up and get them. Yeah, okay, thanks, bye. There you are, Gordon.
All right, thank you.
It's all yours. Okay, well, just like Gordon and Cyril, it turns out that asking boldly gets answers. Asking boldly gets answers. Have a look down at verse 8. Jesus said, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Cyril's neighbour gave him the bread he needed simply because Cyril asked so boldly. Now, we often think that when we pray to God, we sort of need to come to him a bit like a timid mouse. But Jesus says, no, when you pray to God, be bold like a rhino. Be bold like a rhino. Now, we mustn't be rude to God when we pray, of course not. But like a rhino, we don't have to worry about stepping on God's toes or saying the wrong words. We can just knock on the door and tell him what's on our minds. And we can also be bold because God always answers us when we pray. God always answers us when we pray. Have a look down at what Jesus says in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Pray, says Jesus, because God will answer you. Not might, not maybe, he will answer. God always answers our prayers. Jesus is very clear on that, always. So when we pray to God, we know God will answer us. He does hear, he will answer us. Won't that encourage us to pray more boldly, more often, knowing that he will answer us? Because prayer works. It's not like a rocking chair where there's a lot of effort, but not much forward progress. When we pray, God answers. He's never too busy to answer. He's never uninterested. So don't be a timid mouse. Be a bold rhino in prayer. Keep bashing on God's door, and he will open it. But some of us might be thinking, you know, I've asked God to make my grandmother better lots of times, and she's still sick. Or I've asked God to fix the problems at work, and nothing's changed. Does God really, really answer prayers? And that brings us to our second point. God's a loving Father who only gives us good gifts. God's a loving Father who only gives us good gifts. He is not like the grumpy neighbor with the bad moustache in verses 5 to 8. No, he's just the opposite. Jesus says he's like a father who loves giving good gifts to his children. Have a look down with mum and dad at verse 11 so you can see what the Bible says. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Here's a picture of a little boy coming up to his daddy and saying, "Oh, daddy, I'm really hungry. Please can I have some fish to eat?" And what happens? What does his father do when he does that? Does he go into the kitchen and sort of come back and then just throw a snake in his son's lap? Of course not. Of course he doesn't do that. That's unthinkable. If your child's hungry, you give them something to eat. Of course you do. That's just how it works. Well, Jesus carries on in verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Parents know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more does God the Father only give his children what is good and never what is bad? But here's the thing. What we think is best doesn't always match up with what God says is best. Our son, Noah, is obsessed by bin lorries and bins and bin men, as lots of toddlers are. And Fridays are the best day of the week, because that's when the bins get put out in Ashley Down. And so there are bin lorries on every corner. And I think, I can say this pretty confidently, Noah's dream would be to climb into a bin and be dumped in the back of a bin lorry. It's just, he just couldn't think of anything better. So when the bin lorry comes on Friday mornings, I actually have to hold tight onto him and stop him from sort of running out in excitement into the path of the bin lorry. The problem is that that often leaves him frustrated and angry. But because I can see into the bin lorry, I don't give him what he wants. Now, rather than showing how little I care, the fact I hold on tight to him and say no only shows how much I care. And it's the same with God the Father. He doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we want him to, but that doesn't mean he's not listening or he doesn't care. God the Father knows what's good for us. He knows when to say yes. He knows when to say no. He knows when to say not now. So you might ask God for a good mark in your exams this summer. Maybe he'll give it to you. But in his fatherly wisdom, he might not. It doesn't mean he's not listening to you or he doesn't care. You might ask God to resolve that stressful situation at work, and he might do. But because he sees beyond our horizons, he might not. And you know, it can be really difficult when we're praying for things which are good and worthwhile, and God doesn't seem to answer them. That can be really difficult, especially if it's praying for a family friend to become a Christian, or someone you know and who's dear to you to get better. That can be very hard. But when these things happen, we have to remember God is our adoring Father. And he sees into the bin lorry, so to speak. And he can be trusted to give us what is best. So when we ask God for help, when we bring our requests to him, we have to remember that he knows best how to answer. So we can leave our prayers with him in quiet confidence that he'll only give us what is good for us. But maybe you say, okay, what evidence is there that God actually cares? What evidence is there that God actually cares for me? Well, look down at verse 13 again. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God the Father has already given everyone who trusts him the best ever present. And now what I'm going to do is move away entirely from this space. Don't panic. I'm not making a break for the door, but this is just all part of the talk, okay? God the Father has given us, and we all see this. Some of you might not quite be able to see it, so I'm just going to move it out. Oh, it's because it's such a good present. Ugh. You know, the heaviest presents are the best, right? That's what I always think anyway. He's given us the best ever present. But it's not a product. It's a person. Can we just give James a bit of a round of applause there? He's been sitting there for a while. James, well done. Why don't you go down and see Mum and Dad? Best ever present. It's not a product, it's not a toy, it's a present. God has given us himself in the form of the Holy Spirit so that he can always be with us. God is always with us. Now, what does a young child say when they're in the supermarket and they find out they're lost. At that moment in time, what do they want more than anything in the world? Is it the iPad? Is it an ice cream? No, when they're young and they're lost, what they want more than anything else is mum and dad. They want a person who loves them. God has given us the Holy Spirit to look after us wherever we are. He's the best gift ever. This is what an author has written about this. Even if one of the tributaries of our joy, something we love or desire in the world, dries up, in God himself, we have the headwater and source of all joy. So maybe life at school or work maybe makes us cry, but we have him, and he promises one day to wipe away all tears. Maybe our health isn't improving, even though we prayed about it, but we have him, and in him we have eternal life. We might struggle desperately with loneliness, but if we've got him, we've got the Comforter, and he is with us today and forevermore until the end of the age. Isn't that the most wonderful evidence that God cares for us and that we can trust him with our prayers? Let's pray now. Father, thank you that when we pray to you, you hear us and you always answer us. Please help us to pray boldly, knowing that you answer us. Please help us to trust that because you're our Father, you love us and will only ever give us good things. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, that he's always with us, that he's the best gift ever. Amen.